It's June, and for NOAA, that means it's once again hurricane season. While most people are aware that NOAA's National Weather Service plays a big role when hurricanes threaten our coasts, less people are aware of the role that the National Ocean Service plays. Well, we're trying to change that. It's Thursday, June 10th, 2010, and this is the annual hurricane season episode of Making Waves from NOAA's National Ocean Service. Brief programming note before we get started. You may have noticed that we haven't talked much about the ongoing oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico in this podcast, and the reason is that the situation is changing so rapidly that it's outdated before we can get the podcast out the door. So to get the latest information on NOAA's role in the ongoing response to the spill, just surf over to deepwaterhorizon.noaa.gov. Okay, so let's kick things off today with an overview of hurricane predictions for the Pacific and the Atlantic from NOAA's Climate Prediction Center. That's a division of the National Weather Service. For the Atlantic Basin, we can expect an active to extremely active hurricane season with a 70% probability of 14 to 23 named storms, those storms with top winds of 39 miles per hour or higher. And of those storms, the Weather Service projects we may see 8 to 14 hurricanes. And those are defined as storms with top winds of 74 miles per hour or higher. And of those 8 to 14, 3 to 7 could be major hurricanes. Category 3, 4, or 5 hurricanes with winds of at least 111 miles per hour. The Atlantic hurricane season starts on June 1st, and it runs for 6 months. For the eastern Pacific, climate conditions point to a below-normal hurricane season this year. The outlook calls for a 75% probability of a below-normal season, a 20% probability of a near-normal season, and only a 5% probability of an above-normal season. Allowing for forecast uncertainties, seasonal hurricane forecasters estimate a 70% chance of 9 to 15 named storms, which includes 4 to 8 hurricanes, of which 1 to 3 are expected to become major hurricanes. The Eastern Pacific hurricane season runs from May 15th through November 30th. Peak activity is from July through September. So now I want to talk about some of the ways that the Ocean Service plays a role in hurricane response. Before the hurricanes hit the coast, when they hit, and long after the storms pass. One critical service the NOS provides is near real-time ocean and weather observations at 210 coastal locations. It's called the National Water Level Observation Network. And a unique part of this network are specialized hardened structures that are called Sentinels of the Coast. These structures are positioned out in the ocean in the Gulf of Mexico to collect and send out real-time water level and weather observations. And they're made tough. They're designed to withstand wind and wave action from Category 4 hurricanes so they can keep gathering water and weather data, even in the harshest conditions. And why is this important? Well, as we all know, during coastal storms, water levels can rise to flood levels quite rapidly. So it's, of course, good to know and predict how high these water levels are going to get. This kind of storm surge information is critical for emergency preparedness. Louisiana, for example, depends on this information because the state is highly susceptible to many natural hazards like hurricanes and storm surge flooding. The St. Charles Parish Water Level Monitoring System, that's a NOAA observing system partner in the Gulf, provides near real-time water data to decision makers in the parish's Emergency Operations Center during storms. Emergency managers then use this to get a clear picture of storm surge flooding areas, and that's critical in decision-making regarding evacuation routes, opening and closing of locks and dams, and when to make public warnings. But you don't have to be a coastal decision maker to see data from NOAA's National Water Level Observation Network. It's all freely available, and it's at tidesandcurrents.noaa.gov. Tides and Currents is all one word. And while you're there, you may want to check out an important product created from the data collected by the network. It's called the Storm Quick Look. And as the name suggests, when a tropical storm forms, the Quick Look provides a real-time view of a storm's impacts on coastal storm water levels, winds, and barometric levels. It's mostly used as a decision support tool by federal, state, and local emergency managers to help with evacuation and road closing decisions, but you too can see the data to monitor and prepare for storm conditions where you are. Quick look reports start coming out after the National Hurricane Center identifies a tropical storm. The first of the reports arrives about 24 to 48 hours before a storm is projected to make landfall, and they continue to come out until the coastal impacts of the storm have receded, sometimes well after the storm has passed. The report also provides details about the storm tide associated with the storm, and that's the sum of the surge of the water because of the storm, the astronomical tides, and any pre-storm high water level conditions. And if you consider that most people in the U.S. live along the coast in places less than 10 feet above sea level, you can see why this is good info to know. Storm tides are the number one cause of storm damage. The National Water Level Observation Network, and everything we just talked about, is from NOAA's Center for Operational Oceanographic Products and Services, or COOPS for short. Again, you can find out more at tidesandcurrents.noaa.gov. Now let's take a look at what's going on with NOAA after a storm hits. Now, in addition to the continual monitoring of water level and weather observations we just talked about, NOAA also plays a lead role in navigational surveys, aerial photography surveys, and hazardous spill response. All right, let's take a look at navigational surveys first. After a hurricane strikes, the Office of Coast Survey dispatches emergency navigation response teams, and those go to the site to help get ports and waterways back open as fast as possible. They use sonar and divers to check for obstructions and hazards to navigation, and this work is critical. Not only does it help get our waterways and ports flowing again so supplies can get to the people who need them, it also helps to get commerce back up and running in the region. And while these teams are out doing their work, they are also collecting data that's used to update navigational charts for the area that mariners rely on. And in case you didn't know, you can get nautical charts online from NOAA for free at nauticalcharts.noaa.gov. Next up, let's talk about aerial surveys. Well, many people don't know this, but the Ocean Service routinely flies survey missions to take high-resolution imagery of coastal areas hit by hurricanes or hit by other natural or man-made disasters, and this is to help assess damage. This service is provided by the National Geodetic Survey's Remote Sensing Division. The NGS puts all of these photographs online to help those most affected by the natural disaster determine if their homes, businesses, and properties have been damaged or destroyed. Companies like Google Earth, Globe Explorer, and Telescience routinely integrate this imagery into their products, and insurance companies have used this imagery to help resolve claims. And you too can see the National Geodetic Survey's collection of images, including aerial views of the Gulf related to the ongoing Deepwater Horizon oil spill. And you'll find all that at ngs.woc.noaa.gov/eri_page. And that's a bear of a link. Not to worry, you can go online and find that link in our episode show notes. Next up, we're going to talk a little bit about the NOAA Office of Response and Restoration. This office plays a major role after a hurricane hits by responding to hazardous material spills. Staff in the office work with partners, main partner being the U.S. Coast Guard, to survey vessels, pipelines, wells, or containers that may be leaking hazardous fuel, oil, or chemicals. And they also fly on missions to locate and track offshore sources of spills. All of this data is combined with current weather and water conditions to develop complex computer models that help predict spill movement and to figure out where the greatest pollution threats are likely to occur. The office also lends a hand with vessel salvage, shoreline cleanup, and helping to understand how spills will affect natural resources in the region. And the office's team of scientists and economists also assess the injuries done to natural resources caused by hazardous spills, grounding, and debris. Response and Restoration then works with other agencies and industry to expedite restoration, and that's good for the natural resources that were injured, of course, and for the people that live in the area. And last but not least, the office is responsible for mapping and surveying marine debris. If you've ever seen photos of the unbelievable amount of trash and debris along the coast following a major hurricane, you know that this is a big task. And if you're looking for more information on the many tasks handled by the Office of Response and Restoration, start your journey off at response.restoration.noaa.gov. So the Ocean Service plays a big role in the immediate aftermath of a hurricane, but the work doesn't stop there. For weeks, months, and even years after a hurricane hits the shore, work continues to better understand the effect of the hurricane in recovery planning and in monitoring the effects of contaminants released from the storm on the environment. Let's start by looking at activities of the NOAA Coastal Services Center. And long after a storm strikes, there are many big questions that need answered, such as what is the economic impact of the storm? What's the ecological impact or the cost to the environment? Where is the debris concentrated? How much wetlands were lost? Well, Coastal Services Center experts help answer these questions by crunching data and generating maps and detailed reports. These products can include everything from aerial imagery of the affected region before and after the storm, digital elevation data to measure how the coastline has changed because of the storm, to long-term recovery plans. And I want to highlight one very cool hurricane-related product produced by this office. It's called the Online Historical Hurricane Tracks. This tool helps get a quick picture of coastal areas with the greatest frequency of hurricanes and tropical storms. And that historical snapshot is critical for community members and local emergency managers so they can develop better plans for storm prep and recovery. And you can find Historical Hurricane Tracks online at the Coastal Services Center there at csc.noaa.gov. The NOS Office of Ocean and Coastal Resource Management also plays a key role in helping coastal communities prepare for and recover from natural disasters. And this office is also especially involved with decision-making before storms even hit. The Coastal Zone Management Program works with states to help coastal communities decide things like where to limit development to help reduce loss of life and property from storms. In Texas, for example, coastal zone management funding is helping the state map hazardous areas throughout the Texas coastal zone to identify places that are especially vulnerable to hurricanes. After hurricanes and other natural disasters, state coastal resource managers look to NOAA's coastal zone management staff for assistance in working with FEMA on recovery issues and finding experts to help them on the ground. After a tsunami struck American Samoa last September, for example, NOAA's Coastal Zone Management staff arranged for planning and recovery experts from Hawaii to go to American Samoa to help the territory begin rebuilding. You can find more about the Coastal Zone Management Program at coastalmanagement.noaa.gov. And the final office we're going to talk about today is NOAA's National Status and Trends Program. That's part of the NOS National Centers for Coastal Ocean Science. We've talked about the impact to the environment, to commerce, and to our coastlines, but what about the long-term effect of the contaminants released during a hurricane on our coastal waters and estuaries? Even after the fuel, oil, and other chemical spills are cleaned up after a hurricane, contamination can still be a big problem for years. The National Status and Trends experts are key to figuring out just how big the problem is, not only in hurricane-ravaged areas, but in coastal waters and estuaries around the country. They do the job by monitoring sediments, tissues of shellfish like oysters, and by sampling the water, and they've been at it for decades. In fact, it's the only long-term coastal and estuary contaminant monitoring effort in the country. And because they have so many years of data from sites around the nation, they have a window over time into the contaminant levels in many, many areas. As you can imagine, this comes in very handy when trying to figure out the impact of contaminants following a hurricane, or from other natural or man-made disasters, like the ongoing oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. And you can learn more at coastalscience.noaa.gov. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here, and hopefully you have a better idea now of some of the many products and services offered by the National Ocean Service in support of hurricane response. Our main goal is to let you know that this information is out there, it's online, freely available, and all the links we mentioned today are in the episode show notes online. And finally, I want to emphasize that all the Ocean Service offices mentioned here, and some that we didn't mention, are currently engaged in providing support to the oil spill in the Gulf. And if you'd like to learn more about what each NOS office is contributing to the effort, head to oceanservice.noaa.gov. We have links right from the homepage for you. So we'll end how we began with a reminder that it is indeed hurricane season. And regardless of what the NOAA forecasts predict for the season, the main thing to keep in mind is that it's time to start thinking about preparation and preparedness. And that's all for this episode. If you have any questions about the podcast, about the National Ocean Service, or about our ocean, you can email us at nos.info@noaa.gov. Now let's bring in the ocean. This is Making Waves from NOAA's National Ocean Service.